And our scripture reading is Proverbs 1, 10 through 16. Why are you looking for that? You're not seeing things, it's for real. Kathy Wilson is here with us this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, Kathy. We've missed you. I know you've missed the congregation. We were visiting with her one day this past week, and Jerry and I asked her, do you go down to the hospital to see Rick on a Sunday morning? No. And we said, you know, it'd sure do everybody good. Everybody good. If you could come and worship with us here. And it did everybody good. I heard some squeals. My wife had to pick a number to stand in line to wait to even greet you. So welcome back home. It's good having you here. Proverbs 1, 10 through 16. My son, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot with among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word and be able to prepare our hearts for what's ahead. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that's ours to be here today. We're thankful even as we welcomed Kathy back. It's been so long. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue to work your will in behalf of her husband. Lord, you know what your purposes are for him, what the answer is. But we thank you for your grace, and we thank you that you made today possible. May it be a blessing to Kathy's heart, as it's been to each of ours, just to see her. We think, Lord, of others that couldn't be here today. We look around and we see some of our numbers missing. You know if sickness has kept them away, or if perhaps carelessness and waywardness of their hearts. You just weren't important enough to put forth the effort today. Lord, you know their hearts and you know their needs. If their bodies are sick, we pray that you would bring healing. If their souls are sick, Lord, we pray that your spirit would work in their hearts, bring about changes. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this country. We thank you that we're still able to meet like this. We pray that we would not take lightly this privilege. We have no guarantee that we're always going to be able to come and freely gather without being persecuted, without our lives being in danger. And if that time comes, Lord, I pray that in each of our hearts, you would mean more to each of us than our own safety and security, and that we would not set you aside just to spare our lives. We pray today as we continue in this portion in Proverbs that your Spirit could speak to us. I want to bring forth the truth, and I pray that you would be glorified in it. We pray, Lord, that your purposes would be accomplished in each of the hearts of the ones that are listening, not only here in person, but those that are going to be listening out on the internet. Work your will, Lord, and for your glory we ask these things in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, in recent weeks, we have been looking at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And we have been discovering some things that are especially hated, yes, even abhorred by our Lord. In previous weeks, we have looked one at a time at these things. The first thing that is especially hated by the Lord is a proud look. The second thing was a lying tongue. The third thing was hands that shed innocent blood. And last Sunday, we saw the heart which deviseth or dreams up wicked imaginations. We continue on today with the fifth of these seven, and we see that today, hated and especially an abomination to the Lord, is feet that are swift in running to mischief. Feet that are swift running to mischief. Let me just suggest that. Last week, it was especially an abomination to the Lord regarding those that dream up all of the wicked things. Today, it's especially hated the one who carries them out. The feet that are swift in running to mischief. Well, let's discover what we're looking for, shall we? First of all, let's notice here feet. Anybody here not know what a foot is? We all know, don't we? And as you look at the concordance, hate to disappoint you, this is not some unusual word. It's not something different. It's exactly what you think it is. When we talk about feet, we use our feet to do what? To carry us about, to get from one place to the other. We know that, don't we? And here we see Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, says, one of the things that God especially hates is those who use their feet to take them doing wrong things. Feet, people that use their feet to commit sin, to bring trouble to others. You ever know anybody use their feet to commit sin? go somewhere they shouldn't be? How'd they get there? They didn't fly. Their feet took them there. Involved in things they shouldn't be doing. Their feet got them there. So, we want to talk about our feet today. That's why we've given it the title, The Trouble with Feet. And here you thought the trouble was bunions or corns or what I'm learning, the older I'm getting, is neuropathy. I just don't feel with my feet. My feet tingle. They just don't have the feeling they once had. And walking is getting to be more and more of a challenge. So, well, let's look what kind of feet. Feet that are swift. Swift. We're told that this comes actually from a word which means to be liquid or to flow easily, to hurry, to make haste. Feet that are swift. There's no hindrance, nothing slowing them down. And here it's that person that it seems as though they're always ready to go about doing something that is not right. The next word that Solomon used is feet that are swift in what? Running. We know about running, don't we? I used to run. Not anymore. Not anymore. I try when my grandkids come over. It's a meaningless adventure. I try. I clump along. You know, I think when I was young, I could run all the time. Never was especially a fast runner, but I never had any trouble running. Not anymore. But here, the thing that the Lord hates, especially an abomination to Him, it's feet that are swift to run or to rush. There's nothing holding this one back or slowing this one down. In Isaiah 59, verse 7, it says, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Kind of sounds like some of the bunch that Solomon wrote of in Proverbs 6, doesn't it? As Isaiah the prophet described some who certainly don't use their feet the way God intended. And then our last word as we look at this description, it's these are the ones who use their feet very quickly. It seems as though they never slow down, stop, think about it. For what purpose? Mischief. Mischief. What's that? This is something that's bad or evil. We're told that the root word from which mischief comes is to spoil by breaking to pieces. To spoil by breaking to pieces. In other words, it's for destruction, for the harm, for the injury. This is the one that mischief is adversity affliction, hurt. Now, as we look at this word mischief, perhaps there might be some who are thinking, well, how do you know he's not just describing somebody who is pulling a prank or, you know, a joke on someone? You know, this person is, they're always up to mischief. And we use that term sometimes, don't we? Where a person, if they have a sense of humor, they like to try to pull jokes and tricks and things like that on people. That's not what this is referring to. This has no reference to a practical joker, but this is a person who looks for trouble, makes it happen to bring about harm to other people. Let me say that again. This is not just a person who gets into trouble. This is the one who looks for it, and they make it happen, which is going to harm others as a result of it. By looking at the verse, we can learn a lot about this type of a person. Swift, running to mischief. You say, does it say to mischief? Yeah. We discover this one is eager, ready, delighted to do harm, wrong. There is no coaxing needed, no innocency when it comes to being caught. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because Solomon describes here, the thing God hates about this is the person that does whatever they can to run to mischief, not staying away from it. But these are the feet that are swift, running to mischief. When we look at this passage, when we look at some other passages, we can learn what Solomon is describing as we bring to our attention some other portions of Scripture. For instance, turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 36, the first four verses. Psalm 36, the first four verses. The thing that God hates is feet that are swift in running to mischief. The psalmist says here, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. This person, it's certainly true. The one that Solomon is describing here, he doesn't really care about what God thinks, does he? The one who engages his activity in running to cause harm, injury, problems for others, there is no fear of God before his eyes. He flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He stopped trying to do the good thing. Notice here in verse 4, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. We saw that last week. This one who, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Here, the psalmist describes this same kind of a person, devising mischief upon his bed, and he setteth himself in a way that is not good. Bottom line is, he abhorreth not evil. He doesn't care whether it's right or wrong, good or evil, sin or righteous. We find here, it says that he setteth himself in a way that is not good. You know what that describes? That describes he works at it. He's committed to it. He's devoted to it. He sets himself in a way that is not good. That's our man that we're looking at today. The one who has feet that are swift in running to mischief. Proverbs chapter 6, we go back to it, but let's notice verses 12 through 14. Before these six, seven things that God hates. Look at verses 12 through 14. A naughty person, a wicked man, he walketh with a froward or false mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, and he soweth discord. Now, we read earlier this morning for our scripture reading in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, as it described the kind of people that Solomon, the father, is writing to his son and saying, "My son, stay away from this kind of people. They're no good. They're no good. And if they invite you to come along and join, come on, it'll be fun. Come on." He says, stay away from them. Stay away from them in verses 10 through 16. And he said in verse 14 through 16, their words are, cast in thy lot among us. We'll all share together. We'll have one purse, my son. Here's the use of your feet. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Don't let your feet get caught up doing what they're doing, because, verse 16, their feet are running, not away from evil, to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Simply put, these are describing what we have looked at in these references, the ungodly, and some of the worst of them. And from this portion that we're looking at today, this thing that God especially hates, feet that are swift, they take every opportunity and they're quick to do it in causing harm, injury, evil to others. We see here, this is the person who gets great delight in personal harm, injury, loss, vandalism, ruin of personal property. And of this person, I think it's safe to say they do not have any active conscience to slow them down. Wouldn't you agree? They don't have an active conscience. They've shut up their conscience. Is it possible to do that, yes or no? You sure can. You sure can. You know, you just go against your conscience enough. Things don't bother you anymore. These don't have any conscience. As we look at this, we see here Solomon gives us an excellent description of them in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 14 through 17. Enter not into the path of wicked men and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And verse 16 is especially pertinent to these kind of people that Solomon the father is writing to his son, to my son, stay away from these. Look at the description of them here in Proverbs 4:16. They sleep not unless they have done mischief. Are there people like that? You bet there are. They can't even sleep if they haven't harmed, wronged, injured in some way. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And Solomon is writing to his sons, my son, stay away from that. Here's a question for you. The influence of the people that you spend your time with, important or non-important? Solomon is saying here, my son, be careful. Don't be developing friendships. Well, we're just good friends. We like to hang out. You know, we just, oh, the effects of the wrong crowd. Micah chapter 2, verse 1 tells us this. If I could find it in my Bible. Micah chapter 2, verse 1 says this. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds, when the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. They do it. You know really what Micah is saying there? Why do they do the evil? What's that verse telling you? Huh? Because they what? They can. They got the power to do it. What a tragic picture of the life of an individual. They can't sleep unless they come up with something. And in the morning, they set themselves to do it just because they can. Oh God, help us not to walk like that. We find here the usual targets are the innocent ones, especially the godly. Boy, Pastor, you've described quite a bunch. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? His name is our Lord Jesus Christ. We often quote this verse, but it's quote worthy right here. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature." That's what has to happen. He has to become a new creature by the transforming power of the Spirit of God in the heart of the life. And when that one becomes a new creature, what does the rest of that verse say? What about old things? Passed away. And what about the future? They're what? New. The Lord can give our feet a new sense of direction. Amen. I bet if we would bust out into a testimony meeting here, and have you tell the life you used to live before you came to know the Lord, we could probably hear some tales about how those feet were used. Because I know some of you came to Christ later in life. And you were living like the devil until you came to know the Lord as your own personal Savior. Praise God for the transforming power within. You can't change your ways, your life, and neither can I on our own. We need the Lord. I started thinking, wouldn't it be great if God's own people were as eager to use their feet to do the good and the right as the above man in Proverbs 6:18 was to use his feet for evil? Wouldn't it be something if, as believers, we were so set. Remember that wicked man here? He has set his heart. He set himself to do wicked. Wouldn't it be something if that was true about all of the Lord's own people? That we've set ourselves to do what brings glory and honor to our Lord. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 119, 105. And I want us to get some direction from the Lord for our feet as believers as we bring this to a close this morning. In Psalm 119, 105, what do we see here? The psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Do you know what the psalmist is telling us here? Lord, your word directs how I am to live my life, the path I am to be walking on. Your word shows me the way. You say, "Well, I know that, Pastor." Here's a question. Do you search God's word for the light and the direction? You see, just knowing something is meaningless. You want to use your feet to the glory of the Lord. The psalmist says, you and I are going to have to be in the Word because your Word is a lamp. It's a light to my path. And it's a lamp to my feet. So I need the Word for direction. Go back to verse 32 of that same psalm. When a believer is in God's Word, looking at the direction that God is showing, what He wants them to do, it can make changes with regards to the purposes of one's life or what one intends to do. Verse 105 was a verse of direction. Verse 32 is a verse of intention. I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. When you show me what I'm supposed to do, here's the intention. What's this psalmist saying? I will what? I will do it. Is that what your attitude is toward the Lord? Lord, you just show me. You just shed the light on it. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And I will do. I'll do the way of your commandments, what your word says. If you were with us months ago in our series in the epistles of John, remember one of the first indicators of one who truly knows and loves the Lord is one who does what with God's commandments? They obey them. Not just know them, but, well, I'm going to do it because this is what God says. So, what hope is there for me as a believer so that my feet aren't going to be swift running to evil? I need to be getting into the Word for direction, Psalm 105, so that He can show me, and hopefully your attitude of spirit will be, Lord, you show me, and I intend to keep your word. But that's not all. Let's look at verses 59 and 60. 59 and 60. Notice here, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. What's testimonies have reference to here? Pardon? The scripture. I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to do what your word says. I made haste, verse 60, and delayed not to keep your commandments. Here the word is decision. As God shows us, gives us direction, we can have the greatest intention. We saw back in verse 32, I will, but we get here to verse 59. I thought about my ways and I started thinking about how I'm living my life. And it seems as though he realized it's not the way it's supposed to be. So I turned my feet to your word. And verse 60, I didn't delay. I didn't hesitate. I did it quickly. There's a key, beloved. When God, you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, I'm not going to raise your hands for fear of embarrassing somebody, but if I were to ask, how many of you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, just raise your hands. A key is when God shows you something, do it. Don't delay. Don't sit there and figure out, and well, I wonder if I really ought to. The more quickly one responds to the prompting of the Lord and His Holy Spirit in His Word and its meaning in our hearts, the more we are going to grow more like Him. I think some of you want that. And then notice verse 101, along this same point, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. This is under that same heading, the decision that is made. And it takes a decision. Just walking the way doesn't happen automatically, beloved. Growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord doesn't just happen. I have to be in the Word. I have to be responsive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When He shows me, I need to be responding quickly, making haste and letting nothing slow me down. And as we see here in 101, sometimes as we grow and as the Lord shows us, sometimes it's going to make a change of direction. A change of direction. I have refrained or kept my feet from every evil way. The Lord might show you, you know, your feet aren't really on the right path. You need to get on the right path. You need to walk in the right way. The ball is in your park now. He's shown you. He's brought it to your attention. What are you going to do? Notice verse 133. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What's this? What's our key word here? This is the aspiration of the soul. What do you want? The psalmist is saying, I want you to direct my whole life in your word. And I don't want any evil, iniquity to have any kind of dominion over me. The trouble with feet, they can get us in a lot of trouble if we head them in the wrong direction. But for a believer, what a glorious difference Christ can make. I want to close with one more verse for you note takers. Write down Isaiah 52:7, and I'll read it for you. What a wonderful, beautiful way for the feet of a child of God to be used. Listen to Isaiah when he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." What a wonderful way to use these feet. Let's stop and think about how we're using ours, shall we? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I trust you've gotten glory through the truth of your word. I pray that I have spoken the truth. Help us stop and think about how we use our feet, where we go, what we do. The natural man, what a tragedy. Sadly, even those that name the name of Christ many, many times, they allow their feet to take them in places they ought not to be. But I pray, Lord, that you might so direct us by your word. I pray that you might put such a desire in our hearts to search the word, find the way, and then may there be a willingness to walk in it. Lord, if there's anybody that's listened that doesn't know you as their own personal Savior, this message is kind of meaningless to them until they put their faith and trust completely in him and turn their lives over to him, confess their sin, and receive what Christ has done in their behalf as their own Savior and Lord. We thank you now in your name.